This is KWMR on your FM dial at 90.5 Point Reyes Station, 89.9 Bolinas, and 92.3 San Geronimo Valley.
This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. Epicenter is rebroadcast Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. and features a wide array of community and public affairs. I'm your host, Jeff Manson, and today our guest is Dr. Anna O'Malley, MD, a local healer, community leader, and practitioner of integrative family and community medicine over at the Coastal Health Alliance, and director of the Natura Institute for Ecology and Medicine at Commonweal in Bolinas. Dr. O'Malley, good day. It's so good to have you back here on the KWMR airwaves.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Jeff.
So, as has been much acknowledged, this spring marks a one-year anniversary of the COVID-19 pandemic. And at least for me personally, there's something about this moment that feels particularly tender. Something about, I don't know if it's the quality of light or a shift in the weather, but I'm recalling both in my body and in my mind those early tumultuous moments of what's been a very strange year that we've all been through together. And I thought it would be interesting to sort of acknowledge this moment and with you maybe look back to see a little bit of what we've been through, ponder the months ahead, and just acknowledge this very unique moment in time. From your perspective as a healer here in West Marin, how are we doing? How are we all navigating the residual trauma that we've all experienced?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I share that tenderness looking back at what I was thinking about 1 year ago and writing about and what was, I just actually finished eating some of the onions that I had pickled, these wild onions that are now back in season like a whole year later, which, just like the angle of the light and the quality of the green, as so often brings back experiences. I'm right there with you. And so I think, we're all in this complex moment. Who could have predicted a year ago? Few were the predictions that we would still be in it one whole year later. I mean, I think many of us were thinking, gosh, are we still going to be in the fall? But here we are a year later. And so I think in this moment, many of us are holding the loss and the grief and this weird experience, how hard the year has been in so many ways. For some of us, there have been great gifts and lessons and teachings of the year. So there are some silver linings for some of us. The disparity and the way it's impacted our communities, the heightened appreciation of disparities that's been part of this year, which is, I think, an important learning and maybe you could call it a gift. But I think one of the things that I'm really excited about looking forward is where we're at with the prospects of reopening our society and moving forward together with the immunizations and the fact that the number of cases are down. Marin was just moved into that moderate risk tier, that orange tier, which allows for more experiences and things for people. People can be assured that doing certain things are less risky than they were. But I think that the quality that I'm experiencing this spring is that of a little bit of spring fever, which of course I want to be responsible and tamp things down. We don't want to go unbridled into, another wave of the spike of cases. But where it feels to me like the light at the end of the tunnel is getting brighter and brighter.
I'm feeling the same way, and at the same time, it's an interesting moment to realize how much we've become accustomed to over the year, whether it's remote learning for our kids at school, wearing masks in public, really being intentional about who we are engaged with. And now as we begin this process of reentry and reopening, and I've felt that people are pretty thoughtful about it so far, at least in my circles that I run in, and I feel grateful for that. But as we do sort of intentionally move toward this other moment, I wonder if you could speak to some of the both physical and emotional aspects of that. That's another transition for us, right, in terms of health.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I find that so many facets of this to be absolutely fascinating. Like, what a fascinating experience we've been in, and what a testament to the resilience of the human spirit and being that we can adjust to all of these different normals and look for the good and cope with the tragedy. So I think that in many ways we've navigated it in a remarkable way with all sorts of political and societal challenges, economic challenges. But I had this fascinating experience. I think that kind of speaks a little bit on a personal level to what you're asking, in that a week ago, we had our first day-long retreat, not actually, it was a half-day retreat in our yurt in the Commonweal Garden. No one has been in the yurt, really, except for occasionally my children doing remote learning for the last year. And we had healthcare providers with whom I work here at Coastal Health Alliance, and we came together in an intimate circle and realized, you know, the CDC recommends, supports that those people who are fully immunized, which all of us were, could be together in a small group, which it was a small group, indoors without masks on. And so we all knew going into the retreat, okay, we of course want to, you know, have consensus, and we want there to be, you know, we want this to be a consensual process, but we could all be together without masks and even undistanced. How's that going to be? You know, so there's excitement, trepidation, just noticing the nervous system, like, do I really trust that? And then, like, when we were there to see each other's whole faces, there's a nurse that I've been working with for the last year. I've never seen her whole face.
Wow.
There was something just totally, I mean, these are simple things, but to see someone without a mask and to be close to other human beings and to even give them hugs, which we did. First of all, to get there, we had to really, I noticed the unwinding of my nervous system that I had to do. But once I was able to do that, it was like a totally ecstatic experience to be able to connect with human beings again in that simple, basic human way. So that, I think that it's going to be like that, you know, at every, like, okay, do I have dinner with a friend? And you know, so some of this is informed by how we feel about immunizations. And are we protected? And do we, are the people that we love, are they protected? And what level of risk are we willing to take on based on whether, I mean, if it, it really, a lot of it really does come down to, if we've been immunized, and if the people around us are immunized, and if there's not, if you know, some people haven't been, and we're with them, then you know, we keep the mask on. But you know, it was just for me like a little glimpse into an exciting future. So that's part of it.
I love this idea that which we took for granted, even just a couple years, you know, a year and a half ago, let's say, a simple gathering of colleagues or friends together, seeing each other's faces, a simple embrace, all of a sudden it is so poignant and so special and charged with feeling. And I can only hope that that sort of sense of intentionality that we were was sort of forced upon us by a pandemic, you have to really choose about, you know, when are you going to go to the store? Who are you going to see? And at least for me, it sort of made those choices distill down to the most essential and basic. And I do hope that we will carry some of that forward. Not that we carry neuroses forward with it, but a feeling of really honoring that which we get to participate in, because it's pretty miraculous.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. It's like these rarefied experiences of like that distillation. That's exactly the word I was thinking about as you were speaking. That, you know, we human beings are amazing with all sorts of different senses, and we've really had to close off a lot of the gates of our senses and experience over these this last year out of safety. And I share that. I really hope that in this moment, and I think this is one of the things I'm holding as central in this moment, that we get to be really thoughtful about how we reemerge and what we reengage with, and to hold as completely precious what it is to connect with another human being and to even be alive. You know, that there are no guarantees in this life that we're going to live, that we'll be alive tomorrow, really, like there never were. But I think that this pandemic has really brought that into sharp relief, that to treasure the connections, the presence of friends and family, and to make time that, you know, we don't have to have some external force visited upon us in order to restructure our lives to make sure that we're connecting with our family. I mean, that's the gift for me, is that I was forced to slow down and didn't have quite as full a work and social calendar. And my children and I have really, really enjoyed the additional time we've had with each other, and I don't want to lose that. So I think that's another aspect of this moment is, you know, for the good of our relationships and our family and for the planet, like consumerism, you know, we want to be really thoughtful about what level of consumption and expanding carbon footprint we want to re-inhabit or not. You know, I think that's another important thing to think about.
And you've written very eloquently about, and spoken on this radio program as well, about those connections between the individual health and the health of the planet at large, let's say on two ends of things, and the way those are connected. But I do want to circle back to something that you said earlier, mentioning that, you know, vaccinations, of course, are sort of central to this process of reopening and connecting. And I think your perspective is uniquely valuable here in West Marin, because I you're this person that really gracefully operates, right, in this variety of modalities, whether it's with your work as an MD at Coastal Health Alliance or your role as a director at Natura Institute at Commonweal. And nowhere is that intersection, to me anyway, more interesting than in your perspective on vaccinations. There's a lot of feelings out there, a lot of feelings here in Marin. I know it's a big subject, something for a whole program, but maybe just briefly, could you speak to some of that issue here and the different feelings that people have been having around getting the vaccination or choosing not to?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And I really enjoy being in the space of holding complexity and honoring people's thoughts and feelings. And, you know, I just want to back up, I think, and talk and speak briefly to immunizations in general. Often this comes up in my primary care practice with parents who are concerned about doing the whole gamut of CDC and AAP recommended immunizations all at once, and how do we hold space for individualizing an approach. And central to that is this risk-benefit equation. And so we're always talking about, okay, like if you really don't want to do them all at once and you're open to doing, you know, a couple here and there, let's get you on a schedule so that we can do it in a way that feels more comfortable to you and is safe for, you know, and by safe, I mean that we're, you know, on a schedule that's not going to be overdoing it. And so we often start with those things like pertussis, whooping cough, that are out there and that can kill babies. And so that's the first one that often families will decide to start with. That's relevant in this situation where we're in the midst of an actual pandemic. Anything in medicine, it's this risk-benefit equation. Any prescription that we write, any over-the-counter medication that we take, including ibuprofen, we always have to be thinking we want to be aware that there are risks with anything that we put into our body, and that we want to make sure that there's a good benefit to warrant that risk. And in a pandemic that is killing a lot of people, that's a very clear and present risk. And with an immunization that has been found to be astonishingly effective, that's a very clear benefit. But where I think it gets really very interesting and where I think we in science and in medicine could probably do a little bit better job of holding space for complexity is in a question of, like, well, what about side effects? You know, acknowledging that side effects and adverse reactions do happen. They're rare. But we don't do the conversation of childhood immunizations or any immunizations any favor by glossing over that reality. In fact, it makes people feel suspicious that that we're just, you know, propaganda tools, you know, which of course we're not. You know, we in medicine and in public health and clinical practice, we have a vested interest at, only to the health and well-being of the people that we're serving. You know, and that is not to say that there aren't vested corporate interests that get involved when there's industry. But, you know, I actually feel really good about the science that's been done in support of these immunizations. But I also feel like, you know, I know a lot of people out there who have very real questions, and there's a lot of disinformation and misinformation. There's a lot of information in general. There's a whole out on the internet, you know, there's a lot of information. And so I think that what's important and what we could do better for is to holding space for questions and then giving people really good, solid answers that are well-informed and that are from reliable sources, and also holding space for complexity and the uncertainty, which, you know, often that's really what people want is to hear, is to have their concerns listened to, not dismissed in a knee-jerk fashion, and acknowledged, and then you know, give information that's drawn from the literature and that's reliable and not from, you know, the biased sources to the extent that we can. So, and there's, you know, of course, there's so many things to be said within that. But yeah, that's what I think about right now and hold in my heart. That 'cause there are a lot of people who have a lot of questions that they might not be feeling heard right now with the messaging.
And I keep thinking, as you describe so well this dynamic, we're at a place nationally, maybe globally, of big division and this idea of wanting to compartmentalize people. Say, are you pro-vax or anti-vax, or are you left-wing or right-wing, or are you this or that? And as you say, oftentimes people just want to be heard and want to have their, rather than be debated at, or it's like, it seems like so much, and this is tangential that I'll try not to dwell on this, but it does feel like so much of our realities happen on social media for many of us, and so much of those interactions are about people sort of standing at their pulpits and having their point of view and others. Do you feel that there's any opportunity to dissolve some of that post-pandemic just because we've had this collective shared experience? And I guess my other part of that question is, for someone that just really, for them, getting a vaccine is not something they want to do, how can we come to agreement and understanding with those of us that are choosing to be vaccinated? And is that just inevitably a conflict place, or is there some place of balance that we'll get to?
I sure hope so. It's been, I think, you know, stepping back as far as trauma, I think we've been traumatized over the last 4 years, really, mm-hmm. of having, you know, leadership at the federal level that has been intentionally using divisive rhetoric and language for gain. And so I think that we have culturally become we're carrying around a lot by having been cynically divided and then getting swept up in it and habituated to that stance. So, I feel it like that in my own family where we have political divides and like really curious about how do we move beyond those divides to that place of understanding. And we have to watch ourselves. I think part of it is it's like any process, you know, that we each have to radically take responsibility for our own part that we have in divisiveness. And in this immunization moment, it's not going to help reach across divides or bring us closer together or post, you know, to have a healing experience if we have a knee-jerk reaction of calling people who don't want to be immunized crazy or, you know, down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole, or if we, if those people who aren't interested in getting immunizations hold people who are in medicine as just being corporate shills or ignorant and uninformed. You know, I think that we all have to just tone down the rhetoric and recognize where it's coming from. And if we're getting a lot of information from social media, we are most likely going to be exposed to a lot of inflammatory ways of engaging. So I think taking responsibility for whatever part we are, like watching our own language, our own habits of mind, and then seeking for opportunities to really listen and be curious. And, you know, it's interesting, like I think about a lot of, like there's, for example, there's this aspect of what some people call conspiracy theory about whether or not there's a microchip that's going to be, you know, spread through the population so Bill Gates can monitor us. So we in medicine and out there in the news media, because we have this strong interest to for the good of the population and humanity, immunize people, encourage immunization. We have had this knee jerk, like, that's crazy. There's no way that that's reality. Well, it's not reality. There is no microchip. There's no capacity for that within this immunization. However, like all conspiracy theories, there are little elements that are drawn from actual research that's been done a couple years ago, funded by the Gates Foundation, in order to, not with this immunization, but to see if there's a way in the future that that sort of record keeping, if we, you know, we could call it, could be done to help us out in knowing who is immunized against what. That is not, like, for to be clear, it is not in any of these COVID immunizations. But when we say, just completely dismiss that, like, that's crazy, you're totally uninformed, then we drive an unnecessary wedge. It would be, I think we would do well to acknowledge, like, yeah, that's interesting that information is out there. Let's, like, look for the root of it and be able to give a well-informed, respectful, thorough response to people's concerns without worrying or, like, without the fear that that means that they won't you know, be able to listen to what is known and what is the benefit. It's true. It's from, like, a public health perspective, it's nice to be able to just have a very simple message. But when people are seeking and are finding a lot of information out there, what is actually needed, I think, is more complex ability to listen and to respond to people's concerns in a way that's actually honoring and addressing their real concerns.
Friends out there, if you're just joining us, this is the Epicenter program here on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. And today our guest is Dr. Anna O'Malley. We are holding space for complexity and thinking about this moment in time where vaccines are rolling out. Our society is sort of opening back up again, and we're sort of collectively taking a big breath, I think. I don't know if it's quite a sigh of relief yet or not, but thank you so much for your perspectives. And speaking of your perspectives, over these past few years, you've hosted some regular community medicine circles, some in person, and then in the last year, some online. And the topics have ranged all over the place, from aging to nourishing our immune systems to plant medicines and more. In the time that we have left, I do want to make sure we get a chance to mention that you've got a few more of these meetings coming up in April through the Natura Institute. Could you share with our listeners a little bit about that project of the Community Medicine Circle and what you've got cooking over there?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's kind of informed by this desire to empower people with information that I've learned over time about the human body and how amazing it is. And part of that is intention is so that people can know how to bring their body into balance or optimize well-being so that we're not as dependent upon pharmaceuticals. Thank goodness we have them when we need them, but overuse of them is really risky in lots of different ways. And so, I love holding space for bringing people together and connecting with people. It's one of my favorite things. And so there's a really convivial, sweet vibe, even though it's on a screen, which never ceases to amaze me that, we feel real connection with each other. And many people are from West Marin. Many people are from outside of the area or maybe have moved out of the area and get to see friends in that space. And so, in April on the 14th, we'll be doing one on menopause. We're starting to group them together in themes. So there's a women's theme in April. And so we'll be talking about menopause on the 14th. And then on the 28th, I'm excited about this one. It's a new one that we haven't really done this way, on women's sexuality and sensuality. And that one we are limiting actually to people who identify as female gendered. That will be a really fun exploration of all of the amazing things that our bodies can do in that realm. And then in May, we'll be talking about emotional resilience and mental well-being. And we actually just had one focused on child well-being in March, where we also talked a lot about resilience. And, that's a topic that is near and dear to my heart. So I would encourage people to check it out. We send messages out through Natura's list, and you can go to naturainstitute.org and look at the different offerings. We've got all sorts of things that are coming up, which really excited about. This is part of the looking forward. We're going to start to be able to have people come back together gradually, but by the fall, I think a lot more so. Check that out and see what you might feel interested in engaging in. It's an exciting time. I think it's an exciting time.
People keep saying it's going to be the roaring 20s. but I do see this in people's eyes, peeking out from behind their N95s. I see, weariness, yes, but also this kind of knowing and maybe I'm imagining it, but I do feel like there's an expanded empathetic response in at least the people that I'm encountering in the day-to-day, really understanding one another and realizing that we've been through something together. And I just want to plug these medicine circles, having had the pleasure of seeing some of them and jumping into some of them. They're great. They're really wonderfully free-ranging. And like you say, even on the Zoom screen, it's a great community feeling. I had a quick question. Are any of those medicine circles archived anywhere, the former ones that have happened?
They are. Yeah, actually, they are. If you go to... I think it's under it's under both offerings and resources. There's the list of all of the recordings from the Zoom calls.
Great. And that's over at naturainstitute.org. Well, Dr. O'Malley, it's a pleasure as always to have you on the air. The half hour has just zipped by. We'll have to get you back on again, but I know you're quite busy, so I'll let you get back to your various good works that you do for this community. Thank you for coming on,
Kim.
Pleasure. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Epicenter is a program dedicated to community and public affairs for West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming@kwmr.org.